So last week we were looking at Revelation chapter 6. We're going to go back there today. We're not going to read the whole chapter. But there's a lot of things in chapter 6 that we discover about heaven that maybe we haven't seen prior. Primarily in regards to the martyrs, and we're going to focus on them again today. But we find out that there were different seals that were broken. There's mighty angels in heaven. But has anyone ever asked you, or have you ever pondered, is there going to be any animals in heaven? Well, we find out there were horses there. There's also going to be other animals, and we're going to get to that later on. But that's not today's topic. We discovered last week that these individuals who had been martyrs for the cause of Christ were under the altar. They were sacrifices, actually. I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. So number one, they trusted in, they relied on, they embraced, and they shared the word of God. The second reason that they were martyred, we find that they were faithful to their testimony about Jesus Christ. Did you know that the world hates the word of God? And they hate the name of Jesus Christ? The world hates those two things. And these martyrs were willing to proclaim the word of God and be true to the testimony of Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, Mike and I were discussing it earlier. Even on Google, they're censoring certain messages that Christians give out. On YouTube, they censor some things, some pastors, some preachers, because they don't agree with what's going on. In our country, where we have freedom of speech, those things are being done. We have not experienced the persecution that other countries have experienced yet. But I believe it's coming. And it may be coming quicker than we think. So I'm going to let you help me out. So why, the second question is this, why would anyone be willing to give their lives for torture and even death by promoting the Word of God and promoting Jesus Christ? Why would anyone be willing to do that? You have any ideas? Because there's a faith that they have. The love for who? The love for Jesus and the love for others. So we have people because of their faith in the Lord, because of their love for the Lord, and their love for other people, who are willing to lay down their lives for the cause of Christ. Anything else? Anyone else? Okay. They know in their heart that it's true. Has anything ever really good happened to you and you could not wait to share that with someone else? And you just have to share it because it's so exciting to you. A lot of us, when we come to know Christ, there's just this compelling unction within us that, man, we've just got to tell somebody. We've got to tell somebody. We've got to tell somebody. The sad thing is that sometimes, maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years, that zeal kind of is no longer there. And we don't feel like, well, it's not necessary to share anymore. But these faithful martyrs, they never lost their zeal. They never lost their compulsion. They never lost their love to see one more person come into the kingdom. It was a compelling drive within them. And so they had to proclaim the Word of God. They had to proclaim their faith in Jesus Christ because of the zeal, of the love, of the faith that they had for Jesus Christ. Some of you have had transformed lives, and you are grateful to the Lord for the transformation that has taken place in your life. I look back who I was and who I am today, and the Lord, there's a continual transformation taking place. Not just a one-time thing. There was a beginning for that, and it's a continual thing. And many people want to share with others because of the transformation. I want other people to have what I have. I want them to experience the peace of knowing the Lord, the Holy Spirit. I want them to know what I know and experience what I've experienced. Some people are not open to that, but there are some who are. One thing that I think perhaps these martyrs understood and that we need to understand, that this life is only temporary. This life is only temporary. And there is something better on the other side. Some of you may be familiar with Richard Wurmbrand. He was a pastor in Romania. When the communists came in and began to change things, change the climate in Romania. Now, we're going to view this. And so, Paul, this is for you. I don't know if we can put this on our website. So, until I get word from Revelation Media, then I'm not sure if we're going to have opportunity to do that. The things I will share, and then we're going to watch a little video clip, and that's what I'm talking about here. So, Richard Wurmbrand recounts the story of how he stood up for Christ when in the face of communism. He says, a Russian communist officials invited thousands of religious leaders to a meeting in the parliament building. Muslim, mullahs, Jewish rabbis, and Christian pastors crowded into the great hall. My wife Sabina and I joined them. Top communists sat on a stage with a huge picture of Joseph Stalin behind them, and the audience applauded the communist statements, which were broadcast to the whole nation by radio. We want to be friends with church leaders, the communists claimed. The crowd cheered. One pastor got up and said, you can count on us. Another Christian said, Christianity and communism have a lot in common. Both believe in bringing about justice. We can work together. One leader after another rose to give their comments in support of the Russians. Sabina couldn't stand it any longer. Richard, she said, please stand up and wash away this shame from the face of Christ. They are spitting in his face. If I stand up for Christ, you will lose your husband, I answered. I don't need a husband who is a coward, she said. So I raised my hand to speak. It is our duty to glorify God in Christ. I said when I reached my microphone, we must first be loyal to Christ, not to earthly leaders. He is the one who died for us on the cross. The people in the crowd seemed to suddenly wake up. A few began to clap. Many began to cheer, "Pastor, Pastor." "Your right to speak is withdrawn," shouted a communist leader. "Cut the microphone." But the crowds cheered so loudly, no one could hear him. Finally, the wires to the microphone were cut. The shouting and clapping continued. Sabina and I made our way out of the hall through the noise and confusion. "I have a powerful Savior. He'll do what is best for me," I said. Later, the communists made me suffer for what I did at that meeting, but it was worth it. Richard spent a total of 14 years in prison, and his wife endured 3 harsh years in a prison labor camp. Richard was a man of love. He helped out a younger pastor in his underground congregation, but later the man betrayed him by reporting Richard to the authorities. Richard was sent to prison because of it. However, on his way to prison, he asked Sabina to give his love to the pastor who betrayed him. We're going to watch a video and it's an animation by Revelation Media, but it actually depicts true events that took place while Pastor Wombrandt was in prison in Romania.
Lord, I cannot bear it any longer. Why do I remain here? Why? What is it sounds like? Yes, it is. It's Morse code. Yes, I am a pastor. 1 year in solitary, have spoken to no one. I worked for communists, did many wrong things, hurt people. I need to confess. Can God forgive me? Yes, God loves you. He can forgive you.
What is wrong with him?
Tuberculosis.
Give him an injection. At least he will be alert enough for the hearing.
Hearing?
We do things by the law here. Don't you know that? We do things by the law here. Don't you know that?
I've been here all this time. Now I get my hearing.
Do you have anything to say in your defense?
What?
This is ridiculous. He's too sick.
What do you have to say in your defense? What do you have to say in your defense?
I love God.
No change whatsoever. Then you are hereby sentenced. 20 years hard labor.
20 years? This man is dying. He won't live past 1 month. Dump him in room number 4, the death room. Stubborn man might as well die. I'm through with him.
Lord, I feel like I'm dying. Be with my family. Be with Sabina. Help her.
You. This one. You and you. The troublemaker. Get rid of them.
Oh, Sabina.
Here. This will help you against the cold.
I hear this is the room where they place those who are ready to die.
Yes, it is.
Though some, like Richard, seem to defy death, he has been here 6 months.
God is the one responsible for that. Eat. this is all we have.
We shall give thanks first.
So you too are a Christian.
Years ago, in solitary, someone, a pastor, he led me to Christ. Morse code. I thank God every day for that man.
My friend, we meet at last.
I'm thankful, my brother.
Then let us sing a song of gratitude.
What? We have no instruments.
If God can use rapping on our prison walls to preach, shall we not use the chains that bind us to make melody to Him? Suffer with Christ, we'll also reign with Him. What? 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 Where are you taking me?
He has been gone a long time. We best be ready to attend to him. I'll attend to the wounds. Do we have any more rags? All right, here we go. Let's see this.
Well then, shall we continue the sermon?
Richard, you just got punished for preaching.
Don't you think you should stop for a while?
I am a pastor. I have to preach. And besides, I made a deal with the guard.
A deal?
Yes. Yes, a deal. I preach, he gives me a beating. He's happy. I'm happy. So, let's start. Oh. Anyway, this last beating should more than cover today's sermon.
Please join me in welcoming today's speaker, Claude Chernuski.
These guys are my heroes. In the post, under the resources at the church website, there's a small booklet, about 19 pages long, written by Richard Warmbrandt. And it's a booklet in preparing for the underground church. What do you do? How do you do underground church? And his message is basically to us as the American, United States, North Americans, because he sees it that we're going to be facing the same kind of persecution that they faced in Romania and other places throughout the world. And you know, a lot of people may think that, you know, we have a buy because we're Americans. Well, I don't think we have a buy just because we're Americans. I think we have to prepare, like he says. One of the things that he shared in the pamphlet was he taught a teenage class, class of teenagers, like a Sunday school class, and he took them to the zoo. He put them in front of the lions' cages, and then he began teaching on Daniel. He began teaching. He says, are you willing to stand for Christ, even if they throw you into a lion's den? Are you willing to stand for Christ, even if they torture you? Are you willing to stand for Christ? And he would go one by one. He would make them answer, are you willing to stand for Christ? And everyone in his class said yes, with tears streaming down their face. Yes, I will stand for Christ. He tells the Church of America, he says, we need to practice what we're going to say when that time comes, because if we don't practice, we're not going to be ready. So, it's coming. It may come in our lifetime. It may. Things are escalating quite rapidly. It could come next month, next year. It could come 10 years, but it's coming. And we need to be ready. That's what he was preparing us for. One of the stories he shares in that pamphlet or that booklet says, Nadia Sloboda left her house for 4 years of prison. Her children were taken from her, but she left her house singing. The children for whom the police waited with a truck to take them as she left told their singing mother, don't worry about us. Wherever they put us, we will not give up our faith. And they did not. There's coming some difficult times to America. And I know this is a sobering message, but we need to embrace what he's trying to share with us. We, again, have not experienced anything like this in the United States yet. But there will come a time when you will have to choose between family and Jesus. Some of you have already done that. Okay? There will come a time when you will have to choose between family and Jesus. There will come a time when you will have to choose between jail and Jesus. There will come a time when you will have to choose between torture and Jesus. And there will come a time when you may have to choose between death and Jesus. So what are you going to do? To be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm there yet. Okay? I was talking to one of my pastor friends the other day. And I told him, and we have these kind of discussions quite often, and I said, I don't know that I'm there yet. I'm grateful that I have someone who is strong that I can look to help me. And he said, I was thinking the same thing about you. But I guarantee you this, it's going to take the strength of the body. It's going to take the strength of the body. And I'll also say this, and I think I'm right in this. If you're unwilling to live for the Lord, you're not going to be willing to die for the Lord. If you're too afraid to live for the Lord, you're going to be too fearful to die for the Lord. The Word of God is offensive to a great many people throughout the world. The world has been trying to destroy the Bible. If you read anything about biblical history, I mean, the Bible is like one of those things that they want to get rid of, the world, because of the message that the Bible proclaims. People do not like to be confronted with their morality or their immorality. People don't like it. It upsets them. They want to do what they want to do, and nobody's going to tell them any differently. So people don't like to hear that. They don't like the rules. They don't like what the Bible has to share with them. In Jeremiah chapter 36, there was a king whose name was Jehoiakim. Jeremiah had written a book, the book that we now have in our Bible. And, well, let me back up. Jeremiah actually vocalized what was to be written, Baruch wrote it down. And so Baruch took the Bible, took the book to the temple. He began sharing in the temple about what Jeremiah had written. He read the whole thing. People got kind of afraid. Said, oh no, God's judgment is going to come upon us. And so they were told to take it before the king. And but in the meantime, they said, Jeremiah, I want you and Baruch, you need to go hide yourselves, because they thought perhaps the king wouldn't like the message that was brought, because it was condemning the king. It was warning Judah that if you don't turn around, things are going to get difficult, really bad for you. And matter of fact, Jeremiah was prophesying the fall of Judah. So someone went in with the book, sat down before the king, and as they were reading the scroll, read a few columns, the king would take his knife, cut it off, throw it in the fire. Read three more columns, cut it off, throw it in the fire, until the whole book was thrown in the fire, destroyed. Well, God told Jeremiah, do it again. So he and Baruch went, and so Baruch wrote down everything that Jeremiah said, and Scripture says that he added more to it. The Lord added more to it than what was originally in the book of Jeremiah. And we have that book today. But from King Jehoiakim to this present day, there are those who do not want the presence of God's word even in their country. God's word is precious. What you hold in your hand is a very precious treasure that the Lord has given us. And it's, and Scripture says, Bible says, the promises of God is this, that the gospel of Christ will go into the entire world before Jesus comes. And we're almost there. We're almost there. That's how precious the word of God is that it's to go into all the world. These martyrs felt like that the word of God was something to be treasured, was something to be shared, was something to, worth dying for. There was a time in our country when the Gideons could give Bibles at schools. And did you guys ever get a Bible at school from the Gideons? They can't do that anymore. If they give them, they have to be out on school, out of the school grounds and that kind of thing. They actually came into our classroom and gave it to us. What's a Christian testimony? It's the story of what Jesus has done in your life. And if you've ever met Jesus, there was a transformation that took place in your life. And the testimony is what you experienced when you had that encounter. And if you're a believer in Christ, you have a testimony. And it's a powerful tool to be able to share with other people. And it may have happened for you when you were 4 years old or 44 years old or 104 years old. But you remember that day when you had that encounter with Jesus Christ. The testimonies of the martyrs is such that they were willing to die for their relationship with Jesus Christ. They knew what they had, and they had a better home awaiting them. This is what Hebrews 12 says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So these martyrs knew the joy that was set before him. They knew that they could despise the shame. They knew that they could endure the cross because of the joy that was set before them. Before 2014, Christians in India experienced the same types of freedoms that we now enjoy. The freedom to worship, the freedoms to preach, speak openly about Jesus Christ. But things changed when Prime Minister Narendra Modi came on the scene. Persecution has been on the rise, particularly from Hindu radicals. Converts can be ostracized, persecuted, attacked, and even killed with a little protection from the government. Modi has publicly committed to rid the country of all Christians. Santos, a pastor from India, came to First Christian Church last October and shared with First Christian Church and with Dean about what took place. He said, 5 years ago, we experienced all the privilege that you experienced. But now, there's persecution to such an extent that many of my pastor friends have been tortured. Some of them have died and been killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And with a passionate cry, Dean said, these are the words he spoke. I am deeply disturbed for the American church. You are not ready for what's coming. We were just like you 5 years ago. The American church is asleep. You must wake them up. He went on to say to Dean Chris, don't be surprised if you hear that I'm missing. Because he's fully expecting to be one of those martyrs. No one likes to think about the cost of serving Christ. Everybody wants to think about, and I like to preach the blessings. I enjoy preaching the blessings. I enjoy preaching the rewards. And all of the wonderful things the Lord has for us as followers of Christ, and you've experienced those things. And man, if we were to open the floor up to speak, we would be here all day. But no one wants to hear about the cost. And I'm just here to deliver a message to you that there's coming a day. It may be soon, it may be far away, but there's coming a day here in America when you're going to have to determine if you're how strong you're going to stand for Jesus Christ. Is there compromise? Or are you going to be like Daniel or the three Hebrew children? And say, my God is able to deliver me. But even if he doesn't, I'm going to serve him anyway. I hope to be that way. I might find out one day. Perhaps there are you who may be listening in or will hear the recording later and you've given your life to pleasure and sin and all kinds of fleshly appetites. But you feel Jesus calling. You hear his voice saying, come to me. Will you give your life to me? Will you come? Accept my invitation. If you do, you will find meaning and purpose. And Christians, as your pastor, I encourage you to get in God's Word. Be faithful to the Word of God. to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Father, I come before you today. Thank you for these martyrs that John saw under the altar. And I thank you for those that even today, 2.3 billion people who are in situations where it's difficult for a Christian to live. And I pray, oh Father, that you would sustain them, that you would sustain us. And God, I thank you that we can not have to rely on ourselves, but we can rely on you to help us in difficult times. We'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Good seeing all of you.